This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome to Hip Hop Grew Up 2019.
The end of the winter edition, as we enter the end of the winter.
Is that winter?
It's winter.
It's winter. It's not definitely at the end. It still goes to February.
We're heading into the end of it.
I think it's halftime.
Halftime.
Winter and halftime.
Over the hill of the winter. Halftime.
Man, I sure did have that beat playing on a little bit longer than normal.
It's all right. It's a good intro beat, man.
Welcome to Hip Hop Grew Up. Damn. It's already been a week.
Quick week. Kind of cold.
It's cold already. Mm-hmm. And hip hop continues to grow up and continues to, we have, like, you know, in the DJ world we would call it, these are recurrent songs, but actually, like, these are kind of recurrent stories that keep developing as we talk about it week by week. And the recurring name that keeps popping up on Hip Hop Grew Up, my boy Travis Scott,
the king of Texas,
you know,
Travis Scott always works his way into the agenda. Mm-hmm.
Travis Scott, who I've never met, I just said he's my boy, but asked the NFL to donate how much money for his Super Bowl performance. We're deciding last week whether he should or not, considering what and the NFL has done to kind of, like, you know, fine people for expressing their First Amendment right. You know, like, so there's a lot of criticism and people are being criticized for either siding with the NFL or performing for them. And he, I guess, you know, the deal he made was just, hey, donate to a good cause. And what is that cause, Mr. Blake?
I'll tell you what I know about it, but I need you to pull it up.
I do. I have it up.
Because my phone just reset, so the software is updating. But I can give you the essentials, which is it's a nonprofit organization run by Van Jones, focusing on teaching coding,
okay,
to young people, black and brown.
I have it pulled up.
And one of their aims, main goals, is to shut down half the prisons in the United States.
That's a great cause.
And if I remember correctly, he got how much money was donated?
This is from Pitchfork.com. Travis Scott, Super Bowl halftime deal required charity commitment from NFL. Van Jones' social justice organization, the Dream Corps.
Dream Corps, there you go.
Gets a big donation. Big Boy Jones performance with Maroon 5. So Travis Scott agreed to perform at the Super Bowl 53 halftime show on the conditions that the NFL will join him in making a charitable donation to an organization fighting for social justice, the rapper revealed in a statement. In partnership with the NFL, Scott is making a $500,000 donation to the Dream Corps, a Van Jones funded organization that backs social justice efforts that you just described. So I thought that was awesome.
$500,000.
That's big money. And actually, it's big money for an organization. Is it big money considered how much money the NFL makes? $500,000 sounds, you were saying it sounds like a drop in the bucket. And I think you're right.
On NFL scale, it's a very small amount of money. But on an everyday scale, and perhaps a nonprofit scale, considering this organization is trying to shut down prisons and get folks trained in coding,
that's a great cause.
And it's a nice amount of, it's a nice donation.
It's a great donation.
It's a nice donation. So I see other perspectives as well. Like I see, you know, and here, people who say, you know, there's more he should do, or that's not good enough or that's whack. And I feel all that. But I think he's just a feature. It's not really his performance. And maybe if he was Maroon 5, he would be donating, you know, millions.
Yes.
But stepping in as a feature and making sure they break off half a mil to an organization that seems solid about their intentions.
Yes.
That's a win.
It's a win. It continues on saying a report from Variety published. This is the Pitchfork.com article about this. A report from Variety. It reads, published shortly after the announcement that Scott would be performing, claimed that Jay-Z was reportedly trying to convince Travis Scott not to perform during the halftime program. Jay-Z has been vocal about his support of the former quarterback and political activist Colin Kaepernick, and previously referenced turning down the Super Bowl on his song Apeshit. So, pretty cool. And also Big Boy's performing, which is awesome. We always talk about Outkast, or we have several episodes, so it's a recurring topic.
Outkast, arguably the greatest group in hip-hop.
Will he bring out Andre 3000 is my question.
Right. Online, it's like, will he kneel? Will he bring out Kaepernick? So, he might just be Travis Scott. Like, that's working.
Really no, I'm talking about Big Boy.
Oh, Big Boy? Will he bring out Andre? The Super Bowl is where you'd want to do that.
Yeah. You probably want to announce something, too. New record. Anniversary.
Outkast? Nah. No record. That would be crazy, though.
Classic. Or bring a new one, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm always thinking of the crazy best case scenarios. All right, moving on. Mia X writes a book.
Mia X is writing books.
Mia X, No Limit Mia X.
In the boot. Shout out to Louisiana.
She wrote a book called Things My Grandma Told Me. Things My Grandma Showed Me. So, legendary recording artist. This is, I'm reading from Amazon.com, where you're able to purchase her book for $9.99 or her Audible. But legendary recording artist Mia X, who was a first lady of multi-platinum record label No Limit Records, has released her cookbook / memoir filled with memories from her childhood all the way through her musical career, as well as sharing some of her delicious recipes. This is some hip-hop grew-up stuff right here.
Right.
The cookbook / memoir is an ode to her late grandmother, who she fondly calls Mama. Mama had a big hand in raising Mia. She had a straightforward lace with raw, gritty cuss at words at times to approach the life. She had a straightforward lace with raw, gritty cuss words at times approach the life. I'm trying to read that sentence right. My grandma told me things my grandma showed me will have you laughing, crying, quoting Mama and cooking. So I'm kind of interested for the cooking part, and just kind of, I'm actually interested for both. Just kind of her insight, like, you know, I can't quote a Mia X song right now, but I'm sure as soon as it comes on, I'll be singing the words. You know what I mean?
Like Make 'em Say, That's a Mia X song.
She's on that song. I forgot. The remix or the original one?
Song. She's on a lot of No Limit songs. Big songs.
Yeah, she in there.
She's not on that song?
I gotta find. I forgot that
name. She's on one of them huge P songs. A couple of them.
Mia X. Cookbook.
And meanwhile, her son... Hip hop grew up.
Uh-huh. Shout out to Mia X, but go on.
He's just making moves in the music. So his name's Jack Joe. As New Orleans as it gets, is what it says online. Like mother, like son is the hashtag. And, you know, 13,000 followers. I'm not judging that. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. But the music, from what I heard, was pretty good.
Shout out to Mia X and Second Generation.
Yeah. It's just crazy that Mia X, who's a huge legend, queen of No Limit, is very significant.
Yes.
You know, carried herself a certain way and just always represented on the mic. And now her son is coming through. And apparently he's got some heat, man. So Jack Joe said, the only person I look up to in this rap game is Moms, because I know exactly who Moms is. 100. I don't know these other people.
It's cool. It's like second generation athletes, second generation people in the music game. Vince Staples, moving on. Vince Staples. You sent me this link earlier, but Vince Staples, this is from Complex. Vince Staples on his lifetime of sobriety, reality hurts, but so does addiction. It's just which pain you choose. So it talks about Staples is sober. He's how old? He's only 25, you said?
25.
And, you know, he's from Los Angeles, and, you know, he's straight edge now, trying to keep it clean. And he just says how it's difficult for both to be an addict, and it's difficult to kind of...
Yeah, I mean, clean. He said he's never even used anything, ever.
Who has never done drugs or been drunk. I just never wanted to. I'm not the kind of person who...
Never even started in Long Beach, in the gang culture. Sober his whole life.
So I misjudged it. I didn't read the article. I was just
Vince Staples, who was friends always with friends with Mac Miller. Always. That's crazy, right?
Polar opposites. But yeah, okay. So
I remember when Paul Wall and Chameleon were more like that. I'm sure Chameleon probably still is.
Oh yeah, I've never seen him drink ever.
But I remember, you know, early 2000s, they were both real crispy clean.
They were like, you know, your church youth group kids. Yeah. It reminded me of.
With some business sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like, I just think living in Houston kind of, it's innate in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's the oil or the, you know, it being a port city or an immigrant, I don't know what it is, but there's always like, it's hustle town for
right.
Like, to me.
Right.
Definitely. So it's always like they always had a smarter business. They're always trying to get money. And then it's like getting money in China and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I wear two different kind of clothing when it's like in Austin, it's like you wear your Chucks and your more chill gear. And Houston's like super fly.
Souls. Uh-huh. You got to have your souls on.
So it's just different. So I don't know. I think that kind of made them a different business sense. But they were definitely always sober, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul Wall, you know, later, I guess he moved to California on. And mm-hmm. this and that. And probably did a little bit other things. But.
Still represents,
you know, like most of them, they're wonderfully. Pretty just, yeah, they're pretty good people. I know Commander, maybe I seen him with a glass of wine at mm-hmm. a dinner place or something, but definitely those dudes didn't chase girls really, they didn't really go for the hard drugs like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
They kept their vices on hold and kind of got that. So, yeah, that reminds me of Vince Staples.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think else. Like, I want to think, like, remember, like, early Kanye was like that or no?
Never. I don't know. Kind of. I think he was just every man put together. I think he put a few mm-hmm. things together. But Houston, back to Houston for a second.
Yeah.
What is your, what's the first thing that comes to your mind if I say, like, a classic Houston music? First thing that comes to your mind.
Well, we were just talking before we turned the mics on about Top's Drop.
We were. Yeah. That record.
So that just...
Go ahead. Is that an example of that?
It depends on the crowd, you know?
But to you, like, what's the first three songs you would throw on? If it was just...
What am I playing?
Just top Houston hits for you. Favorite Houston records that you would ever play to yourself. The jam to in your
top three
in your
you just can't
in your this. Car. I don't mean top three. I just mean the first thing that comes to your mind. I don't mean ranks. Just what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Top 30 something in your top 50. Houston music. What comes to your mind?
The still tipping Mo City Don and
yeah,
a Fat Pat song, right? So you can go with, I guess, Top Strap or 20, you know what I mean?
Still tipping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, such a simple beat, just crushing everything.
But really, if you think about it, like, what's the generation now going to think? Sicko Mode.
Hmm.
That's like his biggest still tipping. We'll see, you know. It's hard to tell now because, you know, it's like hard. That was like actual CDs and things sold, and now it's streams, but it's the same thing because you're still paying. So I know there's always controversy on how that's weighed in. Actual record sales, the streams. But
Sicko Mode. Mm-hmm. By the recent college graduate last month, Take Heath.
It's been pretty big since it came out.
Mm-hmm. Also in college, Megan Thee Stallion. You heard her?
Yes. How do I? But I can't remember how.
She's from Houston. Goes by Tina Snow. She got this record with, it's that 25 Lighters on My Dresser type beat. You know, I'll Be Sure. What's it called? Night and Day. Doomt, doomt. Dun, dun, dun. Big old freak. That song comes in pretty hard. But she is going to, I believe, TSU now. I think she used to go to Prairie View. Now she goes to TSU. I have to look it up. But these folks are like still in college.
This girl?
Megan Thee Stallion?
The Stallion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says she's from Norfolk.
Yeah, but she goes to college in Houston. She's been to two different colleges
wow.
there. Like she just enrolled again recently. Like within the past month or two. So they got folks blowing up while they still in college. Like I ain't dropping out.
That's some hip hop girl stuff.
Right. Rappers can graduate now while they rap.
Damn. I'm looking at the article in the Fader.
You know?
Look, he's a rap 22-year-old.
In the past, that would take you away. She's showing that, you know, she can do both. Take Heath graduated last month. Like they, it's like they're switching out in that same little pocket.
Man.
Because it grew up.
I'm sleeping. All right. So anyway, Vince Staples being sober just kind of like hits. It's like being in college is cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's now looked at as awesome. It's good. That's smart. That's a good investment, right? And being sober is mm-hmm. kind of the new hit. You know, it's the new, like, yeah, man, oh, yeah, I don't drink. I never drank at all. That's right. Like the new California thing, new cool thing. I was going to talk about Eminem, but Eminem was obviously, you know, addicted to many substances and, you know, went sober. But just kind of being sober, sober is in. Being healthy is in. Mm-hmm. Eating the right foods, going to Whole Foods, you know,
Sprouts.
Spending money on
Trader Joe's
or your local
Central Market.
Yeah, or your, you know, when they have the farmer's market on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Just kind of take advantage of that. That's very, you were saying food prepping,
you know, setting up all your meals for the week. Because you don't really have time to do the cooking, or at least to save the time.
That's what social media is like super hyping up. And I kind of like that. You know, it's kind of a positive thing. It's not like, you know, like some political candidate you hate and this guy sucks. And some people ranting on how things suck. It's like, hey, this is where I get my vegetables. This is how I eat.
It's, you know, valuable social media.
Yeah, it's valuable information and kind of what in my mind I think the internet was built for. It's like, hey, this is something cool, awesome that's going on. You know, how do we?
Democratization? Is that, yes. Is that an example of that?
Mm-hmm. Or just kind of information sharing. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this is awesome. But yeah, I guess it is democratizing because I guess the more people like it, the more the hashtags pop up and will come out in your feed or your friend's feed.
And the content base grows because it's like this big organic topic.
Man, we're all over the place. But either way, all these things are cool, right? Getting healthy is the bomb. Getting your food prepped and showing how you did it and showing how far you can stretch a dollar is really awesome, too. Just kind of like the money-saving aspect on it.
Mm-hmm.
Budgeting. people are starting to, you learn a lot about workouts, right? And how to do your intervals, or, you know, if you're doing weights, or how to divide your days up into whatever kind of workout you're trying to fit in. There's someone doing something. There's a girl, our elementary school friend, Amber McDonald Ross, who's like on Facebook, like super workout person, you know what I'm saying? Like has classes and shows people how to do abs. I never would have thought and like seen her if you know, I didn't see her on my social media, you know? But there's always people just trying to get fit or putting fit in their profile names, you know? Yeah, I noticed that a lot. Yoga is like crazy. Everyone's doing it again. We have a teacher at our school that's mad into yoga and travels the world to get more experience, right?
Trainings and after school programs and grants.
Oh, man.
Yep. But
yogas and goats. You can yoga with a goat now.
I don't know about that. My daughter learned a little bit of yoga off of Sesame Street with Elmo.
What?
Yeah, they do yoga. She does it off of Sesame Street.
No way.
Yeah, she tries to balance. She does this, you know, just real basic.
Oh, okay.
From Elmo.
Okay.
Yoga. Yeah, they do yoga. A 2-year-old.
See, we never had yoga on our Sesame Street, but it's definitely on it now. So people are getting more conscious about it. It's not even just hip-hop growing up. It's just kind of humanity's growing up. There's a juice bar in every corner, which is kind of crazy, but kind of like, well, it's better than a burger spot, right? So in one, like, my daughter likes those things. It's like, Daddy, can we go to, you know, this juice place, is like, and yeah, and she'll get her favorite thing with the wheatgrass, and it's, I know it's great for her. It's also like $8 I just paid, and I was like, damn, I could have bought one of the farmers market, got all this stuff, and made like this for you all week. But you know, that's my bad. But either way, as a quick snack or just a source of nutrition, I'm glad there's a lot of juice bars and people are looking out like that. Have you gotten down with the gluten free?
No, but I do. Drink a vegan smoothie almost every day for breakfast, me and my wife.
Oh, there you go.
You want to know what's in it?
What?
All right. You get like 2 ounces of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons, something, a little cup, cup of water, a tablespoon of, what is that? It's kind of like wheat germ. What's it called? You know, a little, I'll get back to that. There's
wheat germ.
That's what they used to call wheat grass in the day. No, it's not wheat grass. Back in the day, it was called wheat germ. Now it's called, I sound crazy right now. Let me see. And then I got, raspberries, frozen raspberries.
Okay.
Lemon, the water, tablespoon of almond butter, tablespoon of that powder. I'm not remembering the name of right now. Oh, flaxseed.
Okay. Flaxseed. Yeah. Wheat germ. Okay. Yeah.
Back in the day, I got lost in the 70s. Anyway, and it's good. It's good.
That's good. That. The
and a banana.
And a banana.
So banana, frozen raspberries, spinach.
Spinach?
Water, lemon, almond butter.
You didn't mention the spinach.
Yeah. That's everything. Almond butter.
Okay.
Lemon.
Yes.
Water.
Uh-huh.
Raspberry.
Yes.
Spinach. And what am I leaving out?
Banana.
Oh, no, the powder thing. Banana.
Flaxseed.
Okay, let me try this again. Banana.
Yes.
Flaxseed. Spinach. Lemon. Water. Frozen raspberries. What am I leaving out? Did I say almond butter already?
No.
Almond butter.
7 things.
Boom.
Okay. That is Babu's.
The morning smoothie.
Morning smoothie.
All the time.
I switch it up. I get some green. I get a fruity one, and I get a green one. We do the banana, strawberry, blueberry, and
my kids eat strawberries juice and blueberries almost every day.
We do that, and then it'll turn kind of purple. It's cool. Then the other one we do that's kind of green is cucumbers,
mm-hmm.
some kale, some spinach, lots of lime, a little bit of celery, and what else am I missing? Something else that's green. It's called Mean Green or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recipe book that one of my wife's uncles gave us over Christmas, and we use that to make our smoothies. But those are our two favorite ones, and we just kind of just rotate A and B.
Right.
But I've been kind of lazy. That's the kind of thing about these, like, you know, New Year's resolutions and getting started and re-jumped is, like, you got to be consistent. And I've been consistent on the workouts part.
Good.
But the smoothie's just another, like, oh, damn. And I haven't been food prepping, I'll be honest. How about you? You've been food prepping like a month?
Been eating well.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's been holding down the food prepping. I've been on the laundry.
Married life.
We've both been on the kids. Yeah, we food prep. Because, you know, you cook about 3 days at a time.
So like
tomorrow's Wednesday. I got to make spaghetti.
You got to be on it, man.
Yep. I already know. You got to plan it out.
Is it gluten-free spaghetti?
I don't even know what that is, honestly.
I looked it up. It means nothing with, like, kind of things based with wheat.
Okay.
So I don't know if wheat
germ. I was ignorant.
I don't know if flax seed
ignorant on gluten-free.
We'll make it gluten-free for your wheat germ. See if that.
But, flax seed wheat germ. Yeah. They used to call it wheat germ.
So make sure that is not gluten. There's gluten in it. Well, gluten's anything with, like, a wheat byproduct in it. So it causes illnesses in some people.
Allergic to wheat.
Yeah, and then I think I was up late watching History Channel or some weird YouTube, and there was a person talking about it too, and he just says that a lot of people who aren't from a certain part of where they cultivated that, their body isn't used to that.
Hmm.
They're not used to that gluten, or not used to having wheat, and so it bothers them a lot.
Right.
So that's why.
Yeah, there was a kid once in history who was lactose intolerant and had a little milk at school and just exploded.
What? In your class?
No, in the bathroom, sort of, barely. Okay. Didn't quite make it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mid through, yeah.
Blew it up.
I ain't gonna lie.
Had to go home. Once upon a time.
The crazy stories of being a teacher. We're not
right.
supposed to discuss.
I've been a teacher.
And now you're, yeah.
Not a teacher anymore.
As of? Real soon.
Right now.
It's crazy. You're no longer. And how long you been teaching?
I guess 5.5 years.
At the same school.
At the same school. In the same hallway where the teachers change all the time.
Did you have the same room?
I had the same room until this year. So for 5 years I had the same room, and then I moved to the math room where the teacher never comes back. And I knew I was never coming back. And now I figured out why I knew, because now I have somewhere to go. So it's crazy.
Where are you going? If you're not going to teach this awesome, awesome job that has kind of like, this job kind of changed you.
Absolutely.
How has this job changed you? What were you like before, and what were you like now?
Before I was
a teacher and
the MC, and now I'm the scholar MC. In that environment, the adults, the kids, the whole setup was a scholar platform for me to position myself within, you know, as a scholar. Even though it's just teaching middle school, and I know, you know, everybody doesn't look so highly on that. I looked at it as going to the most basic level of education that I could, not too low, like third grade or anything, but the most basic level, to really just learn and position myself in education and, you know, kind of prove myself in service to my own community. You know, my school is my school, like it's my neighborhood school. So that part about it has been really exciting. And
you want to do like a public service?
It's just a part of the work, but it's exciting. Really proud of it. Built a lot of relationships.
Adult and student relationships and parent relationships.
Yeah, especially student relationships. And adult relationships, for sure. But the student, you know, the quantity is massive by comparison. to the number of adults.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of its own thing. It's the flow. It's a big school full of kids. So the relationships and learning things from them socially and learning how to listen to them, you know, they're the new wave. And gotcha. I feel a lot fresher in my understanding of what to do and the way I view the world based on interacting with all those kids for so long.
It's crazy interacting with kids in a good way. It's just like you're getting a younger perspective of what's going on. And it's kind of like, it's just, to me, the biggest, you don't want to know the biggest thing about interacting with the kids is just that they born with the internet. The internet developed while we were growing up, you know?
Right. Like
actually the internet really took off when I like became an adult.
YouTube like, right, is 18. Older than my students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of looking at it. And it's just different. It's just like everything they learn and do. Like we had the Encyclopedia Britannica and they got swipe down and search anything. Swipe down and search anything.
Hmm.
So it's a great resource. And some don't even know how to use that. So.
Hmm.
Right. But. Many do, and many answer a lot of the world's problems, their own just basic problems, by being masters of the search engine and masters of the YouTube search engine.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to the next generation of kids. Killing it.
So from there, moving on to a bigger district, like 10 times the size.
Yeah, our district is pretty.
And, yeah,
we got two high schools, one and a half high schools.
Just had a vision of being some sort of cultural affairs officer.
How many high schools does where you're going has your new job?
Let's see. High schools.
It's got to be a lot.
It's got to be a lot. I wonder if it's like 50. Let me cut and check. All right, here we go. 16 high schools.
Damn.
18 middle schools. 84 elementary schools.
Damn.
129 schools. And 5 years ago, 85,000 students. So about 10 times the size.
Big old district. It's going to be fun.
Over 6,000 teachers. 5,000 staff.
You're not going to be a teacher?
Oh, no, I won't. But I'll be working with adults.
Are you going to be training teachers?
Yes. I think I'll be developing teachers. I'll be developing teachers.
That's a better word.
Right. Yeah. That's the word, you know, in the role. So... going to Austin ISD as a cultural proficiency and inclusiveness specialist. So that's going to be a ride.
In the layman's terms, what's your job?
I say I'm a scholar of cultural affairs, and I'm supposed to turn over the information and research and give the opportunity for adults, central office staff or principals up to the superintendent on different topics around like identity,
student identity,
adult identity, cultural backgrounds, how to honor and relate and respect and listen, like just a really, it's almost like a humanist chaplain or something like it's really just love things that you know, but that there's just a lot of different perspectives of how to look at culture. So going into race and class and gender and sexuality and all those areas and figuring out how to still honor and do what's best for everybody involved and the best way to get children educated.
That sounds like an awesome, dope position.
Thank you.
Let me know how that goes.
I need some water, man.
You're parched. Well, I'm glad that you're not. How do I say this, man? I'm glad that your teaching career is like taking another like stepping, like another level for sure. You're up, but definitely like another notch. You know what I'm saying? It's like teaching is always for a lot. For many people, it's kind of like, you know, their first door in just education altogether. Whether they're doing educational policy or becoming a principal, or, you know, they like coaching, or they want to be in social services. Or, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm glad you kind of are honing in or just kind of narrowing in to doing something, because I know you're always about literacy, learning, and culture. Yeah. Just having the word culture in your title.
Right.
That's a big plus.
Yeah. And I like to learn and I like to present. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of taken over compared to just practicing as a classroom teacher, is learning and presenting, you know.
You made me pop, like cough up, you know, 3 songs. I need you to cough up 5 books since you're not going to be a teacher anymore. What are 5 books you recommend middle schoolers, 7th and 8th grade reading?
For students? Oh.
Or what book should teachers have in the classroom for 7th and 8th grade students, I should say?
The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie.
Okay.
You want more?
And I remember you reading that, and it just kind of explains. Is it a real story? Or it's a fictional?
Fictional adaptation of his story.
Okay. But just kind of first-hand account of being a Native American.
Well, yeah. It's more like, and the main character is a Native American. Mm-hmm. But what it's really about is like being outside of mainstream life. Mm-hmm. But then stepping over to it to try to tap into the resources.
Okay.
You know, he's like a, you know. He's out on the margins. He's from a rough spot.
Okay.
And then he's having to try to assimilate into a white school.
So at
because he's like, you're the guy who can get out of here. So it's kind of just
Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Absolutely true Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie.
Okay, next book.
So it's illustrated.
Oh, it's illustrated.
It uses lots of naughty language. It's telling a story about, you know, a guy who has had it kind of rough, has been hurt, is sensitive, you know, and just explaining why they're in the situation and all that stuff in a real child friendly way. That's number one. Number two, the dictionary. Number three,
why the dictionary?
I'm not gonna waste that on a book, because they can get there through apps. But the reason I say the dictionary is because words are so important, and there's so many new literacies that a lot of young folks have. So there is a training that has to take place, a skill, you know, of functioning and using what amounts to as mainstream, you know, standard English language. Because a lot of things are written in that. But that's not a natural read for every kid in 2019.
So there's a lot of resources that do the dictionary. Same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tupac Legacy.
It's a biography?
Yeah, it's a big box set thing. It's like you pull out this book, and not only is it elaborate pictures and information with this sleek design, but it's got a whole bunch of primary source material, like his actual notebooks printed to where it still has the cover of like a composition notebook and the pages in there. And there's a bunch of things in his handwriting all through the book coming out of all these nice folders and sleeves, you know. And
primary it's just, sources.
Yeah, just lots of Tupac stuff. You know, contracts and letters to a girlfriend and, you know, just all these different pictures.
Tupac Legacy.
Yeah, but a lot of the artifacts in there you can just pull out and they, you know, try to remake it as authentic. It's like a museum about Tupac in a book. It's ill.
Awesome.
Tupac Legacy. Other books?
The other books.
I like The Sneetches by Dr. Seuss.
Wow.
It has the Migos flow.
In triplicate?
I'm going to show you. Google it so you can look at this with
Google
me.
Google it.
No, I'm getting it for you, but I want you to look at it with me so you can verify. The Triplet Flow by Dr. Seuss in 1906. Isn't that amazing?
This is why you don't need a dictionary.
Why not?
What you just did.
I don't know where I can read the hook real quick, but it was written by Dr. Seuss. And when I find
you gotta buy the book now.
No, I want you to hear the Migos flow. So give me a second for it to load up. I read it to my kids, they trip out. But it's also the message. So while we pull that up, what it's about is some of the sneakers have stars on their bellies.
Walk it in my pocket.
And they walk around with a lot of pride. And then the ones who don't have the stars, they don't talk to them, they don't play with them, and they look a little rough and a little downtrodden in the sneeches, right? Mm-hmm. So along comes this guy. You get the rest of it, you know. You can't play with their kids. You can't come to the marshmallow roast or the Frankfurter toasts, mm-hmm. right? Or whatever. And so some guy comes along with a machine and sells them stars. They put stars on their bellies. Mm-hmm. So that makes the ones with the stars take theirs off. Then they all keep running through the machine until they have no money left. And that guy leaves town with all their money. And then they say, forget it. Let's just all be the same. So as cheesy as that sounds, he makes it real interesting. And then, you know, the question is, how many things could that star represent that one group could judge another group by and, you know, say, we cut them out. And from there, they get real deep. So I think it's a real good question for thought and thinking and sharing your perspective. The Sneetches.
Man, awesome. What else?
I'm messing up because I want you to hear some of the words on the Sneetches. What else? How many is that? Three? Four? Mm-hmm,
three.
Yeah, not the dictionary. Young people. Oh, crossover. Kwame Alexander. You've seen it. You came to the library one day when we were reading it, remember? Before you came to our campus. Ayana, Margarita, remember?
Crossover. I thought you were reading the part-time Indian one.
Not in the library.
It's crossover.
If you saw a part-time Indian, you probably saw it in the classroom.
Is crossover the one that's written like in text message form?
Text message. It's written like poetry.
Short, yeah.
That one.
Not taking up the whole page, but just short.
The one where you asked her, what do y'all like about this book? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Tell them about that.
Because
you got me listing books. Tell them about what happened when you came to the library. Let me reminisce because I'm leaving the classroom.
Oh, ask, what's the best thing you like about this book? It's like, well, just they talk like we talk or something.
Right. What made you ask that question?
Because they were interested in the book. And most kids aren't interested in books.
But they had the Scholar MC.
You're right. You made them interested in reading. And that's very powerful.
It's fun. And we all enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
That was cool. It grew up. I think the hip-hop background is what allowed me to kind of sell it to them, to be honest.
So what the hell are you going to sell now, working for a gigantic school district and not a classroom anymore? You're not going to be able to do that anymore. What are you going to?
No, I'll be presenting all the time.
It's called an MCing.
On a whole lot of topics.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe people just need to listen to you to get inspired.
To adults.
To do what you do. Did.
No, it's not going to be teachers all the time. It's more like ways that we can focus ourselves and you know, there's a little bit of...
You're like an inspirational speaker for the school district.
But and a scholar, because it's, I mean, we're talking about...
but like an educational, culture inspirational.
And inclusiveness. Culture and inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. And what that means is really just recognizing culture, mm-hmm. and finding ways that, you know, to make sure there's equity in education. To make sure folks are learning. Same old saying, you know.
So you're saying it's like putting Spanish more in the lesson, right? Or No?
It's really just, to you it's simple. To us it's simple. Getting to know who people are.
And appreciating what who they are and where they come from.
Maybe I'm being too casual though, since this is my job. So let me.
Yeah, what, like?
It's new.
Let us know about it, man. But the classroom's definitely going to miss you. I know a lot of kids and a lot of coworkers are going to miss you, man. But stay in touch. I know we've got this after-school program that we're going to be working together to try to help youth after school learn how to create songs, learn how to be proficient in literacy, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that's an excellent example of mm-hmm. it. Like, that has a different appeal. That's an example of cultural proficiency. When an adult understands mm-hmm. that their personal culture and background impacts the students they work with.
So because I was a DJ and you're a rapper, this is how we can help the kids become better people.
Yeah. Inclusiveness means you show respect, understanding, and acceptance. And diversity is valued as an asset. That's pretty much the values of it all.
Social justice kind of goes along the lines with that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. We'll kill it, bro.
Mm-hmm. So professional learning, like what you saw me doing at Abbott.
Professional learning.
Different course, though. It's not content area writing anymore.
No, it's how to get along with people.
Hmm.
Which is a great, great job to have. Congrats.
It's going to be fun.
Hip-hop grew up, once a rapper, now a cultural proficiency development person. I forgot the title already.
Cultural, that's close enough. A cultural officer. We'll get used to the title later.
Cultural it's cop. New. Cultural cop. So you guys see some cultural crime.
Cop.
Cultural crime having, like, things are not fair. You call a cultural cop, Babu.
He'll pull I think up. It's more like cultural minister.
Yes.
That's what it's more like.
The Reverend Culture.
Right.
Mr. Blake's.
That's what it really is.
Hip-hop definitely grew up. We will see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Peace.